Welcome to Cookbook Club. We are home cooks from Portland, Oregon.
I'm Sarah Gray.
And I'm Renee Wilkinson.
Every other episode of Cookbook Club will be focused not on a cookbook, but a cooking topic. If you're a baker, I'm willing to guess you've made a birthday cake or two. Today, we're going to talk about our best recipes and strategies for making the best cakes to celebrate your loved ones or even your own birthday.
I would say even if people are probably not a baker, they have probably had to make a birthday cake probably at some point.
It's true. Yep.
What kinds of birthday cakes did you grow up with?
My mom baked us cakes. We had a lot of homemade cakes. There's like a classic that my mom made for my older sister. She made a Cookie Monster cake, and like it was all this blue frosting that was like piped on in a way where it looked like fuzzy.
Uh-huh.
It was very cool.
Were the cake themselves made from scratch, or were they from a mix?
I don't remember.
I think my mom used a mix a lot.
Yeah.
And she was really into cake decorating.
Yeah.
And she even had a little side hustle doing that as a stay-at-home mom.
Cool.
But I still have like nostalgia for like cherry chip cake from the 80s.
Yeah, cherry chip cake. Yeah. I forgot about that completely.
Yeah. And funfetti.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's like with cakes, there's if you just want to decorate it, but you don't really want to deal with it, just go boxed.
Yeah. And I remember my mom saying that she thought boxed cake was like not that bad.
Yeah.
But I wish that she were alive so I could debate that with her because I would like to make her a homemade made from scratch cake and be like,
really?
Really? I'm not saying they're terrible, although I have heard if we're talking about box cakes, the vanilla box cake from Trader Joe's is supposed to be pretty good.
Okay.
Have you made that one?
I haven't made that one, but I've made a few of their boxed mixes and I think they're good.
Okay.
They're better than the box cakes I remember from growing up. They're still a box mix. You know, they're like nothing special.
Sure. But I think to your point, like if you're focused on decoration, then like phone it in for the cake part.
Completely. Especially, and this is like a key distinction, right? I think there's a difference between if you're making a cake for a grown-up or if you're making a cake for a kid. Because kids don't care as much about the specific flavor of the cake or the character of the texture and all of that. They're generally more into the, and I'm sure there's exceptions to that. I'm sure there's kids who like really geek out on like a really moist cake. But my kids, at least, are far more into the decoration and the presentation than the actual quality of the cake. Whereas most of the adults in my life would really prefer the cake to be super delicious.
I think of it as like a 90% of the people 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So to me, those are like the two main categories of cake, grown-up cake or kid cake. And so like there are maybe some grown-ups who prefer like the kid cake, like they don't care, they want like frosting and whatever. But so I break all of my cakes kind of into those two camps as well.
For sure. So when you're making an adult cake, what's your birthday cake game for an adult?
Well, it depends on the adult. Like usually I feel like a lot of adults have like a special cake that has nostalgia or something that they want.
Yep.
So my partner, for example, always wants a spice cake on his birthday.
Yeah, he loves a spice cake. I know that about him.
Yeah. Grand Central Baking has like a really great, wonderful spice cake that does take a lot of like time and effort.
And when is his birthday? Is it spice cake appropriate season?
No, it is May.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense seasonally.
No.
But that's just what he likes.
Yeah. I feel like that's consistent among almost everyone in my family that they, except for my son who has a summer birthday, but like my other two kids have shoulder season birthdays and they still want like lots of fruit, fresh fruit on their cake.
Right. Well, my mom has a nostalgia for pineapple upside down cake. So that's always what she wants on her birthday. And because that's what her mom made her on her birthday.
That's so sweet.
And she's on an October birthday. Not like pineapple is ever in season here. But the first time she ever said to me, like when I was getting into baking, like, would you make me a pineapple upside down cake? I did. And I followed like a recipe for kind of like a modern one. And she was like, this was really lovely. But the way my mom used to make it had like the maraschino cherries in the ring of pineapple. And so like I do it that way because it's just more nostalgic that way. It's not about the very best cake.
Yeah.
Like, it's more about just feeling like taken care of and loved and, you know, having that nostalgia, I think.
This is very random, but I found that people have like a really sweet, deep nostalgia for really quirky food items based on like who was it that took care of them growing up.
Yeah.
It's like not always their mom, but often it's that. But when I worked at a bakery, we had like bagels that we would toast and stuff for the people, and it was a coffee shop also, but sometimes people would come in and they would be like in their 60s and they'd be like, I would like a toasted bagel also, but could you like kind of burn the bagel, like put it through twice, because my mom wasn't a very good cook and that's how she did it.
Oh, that's really sweet. And
it happened like regularly.
That's so interesting.
It reminds me. Yeah. So for your mom's pineapple upside down cake, I feel like you could do like canned pineapple and the maraschino cherries and like the caramelized brown sugary buttery goo on the, you know, it becomes the top of the cake when you flip it out. But you could probably make the cake part itself pretty good.
That's what I do.
Okay. Yeah. What do you use for that?
I think this last year I made the snacking cake, the pineapple upside down snacking cake.
Oh,
which is really good.
That book is not very big, and yet there are so many recipes.
I know, there's a
still
lot of gems
there.
Buried in there. I have to edit it because it does call for fresh pineapple, and she wants you to cut it thin so it gets like really caramely and delicious. But I just use the can and the rings, and you know that those rings, it's like they're commercially prepared, and it's almost like they're designed to fit perfectly in a cake pan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you do one in the middle and like all the way around like a flower, and then you can cut them in half and go up the sides if you want. They fit perfectly.
Oh, nice.
So funny. So I make one of those every year.
Okay.
And the cake is good. You can also make the cake batter from the Smitten Kitchen strawberry cake, which is a really great batter.
I love that cake
so
much.
Good. You can use that with the pineapple as well.
Have we talked about that cake at all or enough on the podcast?
I think we have talked about it, but I don't think you can ever talk about it enough. It's so good.
And you can find the recipe on her website. So if you Google Smitten Kitchen strawberry cake, you will find it. The original version was just for like one small like square pan or one round pan. And then she doubled it and made like a new version of it. That
it's
was
like
scaled up
version. Right.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but the sheet cake one doesn't turn out as good for me as the original smaller
one.
I've
never made the sheet cake. But also in Smitten Kitchen Keeper, she updated it again. Did you know this? Into a strawberry summer layer cake. And it has whipped cream in between layers.
Oh my God. That's
I haven't made it yet, but I think that would be a great adult showstopper summer birthday cake.
That's a good one.
Because I feel like something about a layer cake makes it feel just like more festive.
Oh, totally. Actually, Fox, my youngest, just said that the other day about cake. He was like, I liked my birthday cake the year before. And I was like, well, why didn't you like yours as much this year? And what he basically described as the year before, it was a double layer cake. And I was like, well, honey, that is a dream that I can make come true.
Right,
like,
that is doable.
If it's the same exact cake, but you think that's better, then great. I'll make a double layer.
Well, and like a hack for that is you can make any cake a double layer cake. So my go-to birthday cake, the one that I made for my birthday this year, is the Devil's Food Cake with salted milk chocolate frosting from Smitten Kitchen Keepers. And she has a great hack in that for how to make a single layer cake and then make it into a double layer cake. In that case, she has you make it into a triple layer cake. So it is just so tall. But she just has you do it in a 9x13. And then you pull the whole thing out and you cut it in even thirds and stack it. You could also cut it in half and stack it. Because if it's square, you can very easily trim it and then put a filling in it and stack it. And it's not any harder than just making a single cake.
That's brilliant.
So smart.
Some of my go-to cakes for adult cakes, since we were talking about boxed cake, is the chocolate midnight cake from Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I'm not saying that that's a box cake, but what's similar about it is that it is an oil-based cake.
Right.
And that is the magic of why a box cake actually does taste pretty good sometimes, because of the oil.
Butter, right?
So it just makes the whole thing very, sorry guys, moist.
Yeah. Every time we talk about cake, that word comes up, and it's just an unfortunate reality of the English language. Yeah.
Sorry,
here
guys.
We are.
I know like 60% of you don't mind and 40% of you, it's not
just
your favorite
cringing.
Word.
Yeah.
And then another one that I just want to mention quickly is the toasted coconut cake from Now and Again. Do you remember? We had that at our first
retreat. Yeah.
Ugh. Our cookbook club takes a retreat once a year for like two nights or three nights, and everybody kind of just splits up the meals. So you maybe like make or share the duties of like one meal. And then the rest of the time you just get to kick back and enjoy delicious food.
So great.
But that toasted coconut cake is not a like fast, easy one bowl cake. I think it is easy, but it's like really easy with a standing mixer because you really need to like beat things for longer and like carefully add in the ingredients. But it pays off. That
it's
cake is
so
delicious.
Good.
And it's impressive and it's big and it's fluffy and
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's very coconutty. And yeah, I thought that was an awesome cake.
What are some of your other grown-up cakes?
Well, I have a couple of showstoppers that I like. There is a book, the Momofuku Milk Bar Cookbook, which is Christina Tosi. And it's pretty incredible. So if you want a project to bake, I mean, and I am talking about a project, there are some layer cakes in that book. It's very like restaurant cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
I even had to buy things that I like would never use otherwise to make them. So like she has you buy like a cake ring. And so you make like a whole sheet pan of cake and then you have to like cut it out with the ring sort of like a cookie cutter so that all like the layers are the same size. And then you stack them in the ring and like she has you use this like cellophane sheets to like build it up tall inside the cake ring. And then there's all these like, I mean, there are multiple cakes in this book. One of them is a carrot cake that has a filling in it that she calls liquid cheesecake.
That sounds like both gross and delicious.
All of the above. I think that's kind of the thing about Milk Bar. I've never been to Milk Bar like in person, but I made a handful of the recipes from there. And I think that's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the draw is like it's just so sweet. It's like almost ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is such an example of nesting doll recipes on top of nesting doll recipes in that book. So like you'll be like, OK, I'm going to make this layer cake. And it's like, first you have to make the cake, then you have to make the filling, then you have to make the crumb, then you have to make the topping. Like there's like all these different recipes that you do together and they're all super time intensive. If you do it, I mean, it is a real showstopper.
I mean, that's the thing with like the chef or restaurant cookbooks is that somebody's getting paid to do that.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
So then you're doing it at home and you're like, I'm not getting paid to spend 8 hours to make this cake. Is this worth it?
This is the kind of cake. And there's a carrot cake and there's another one that I honestly can't remember. I didn't keep the book because I just did not have time for it in my life. But there are also some online tutorials. Like Christina Tosi has a lot of like video content.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that has this graham frosting. In order to make this frosting, and this was like a revelation. If I could have like a couple spoonfuls of it right now, I would. I would want it so bad. It's so good. So it's graham crackers. You start there. Then you sort of make like a graham cracker crust. You, like you blitz up the graham crackers and then, you know, add butter and sugar. And then you make frosting out of that.
Oh, wow. I could see how that would be
good. So it's like steps on steps on steps.
Yeah.
But that graham frosting was incredible. And that layered into a cake. I think it's just called birthday cake.
Okay.
It's their birthday cake. And it's like, you've got the graham frosting and you've got these like crunchy bits in there. Incredible.
That sounds great.
Don't attempt it unless the people who are eating it will actually appreciate it.
I feel
it's like a multi-day thing. You have to like refrigerate it after every step. I mean, it's a whole thing.
I just got an idea that like maybe to keep adolescent kids out of trouble, they should like
all like be recorded.
There should be like some class, some like after school program that takes like complicated books like that Momofuku Milk Bar cookbook and has them like work on that, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's actually like a good audience for that.
Sure.
They would be like really excited about making a bunch of like sweets and stuff. I mean, this is again like so many generalizations, you guys. I'm sorry if you have teenagers in your life where you're like, that doesn't apply to my teenager. But me as a teenager, when I was a restless youth,
yeah.
I loved to bake. And I think like a really challenging, complicated bake that made something that like my parents never would think to make or, you know, it would make you, it's like rebelling within the world of baking.
Right.
But it's like time consuming. So then they like stay out of trouble maybe a little
bit. Keeps their hands busy.
Yeah, totally.
Idle hands are the devil's playthings.
Oh my God.
I love it. They also, the team behind Milk Bar, which is Christina Tosi and friends, David Chang, you know, opened that, but she's like the head chef for the dessert stuff. They also have a number of other books now, including there is a kids Milk Bar cookbook.
They need a restless youth Milk Bar cookbook. That's what I'm looking
Make
for.
Make it more complicated.
Yeah. It's like, you know how there used to be shop class and home ec and
yeah.
like they, we need those. Like I would have loved a shop class. I don't know what I'm doing when I open the hood of my car other than trying to look like I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so I feel like those classes need to make a comeback and maybe they could have a spin that's more engaging for the youth.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That was a. Did you guys know that you were going to be listening to me talk about restless youth while we're talking about
kids
birthday
today.
Cakes? What a journey we're on here together. Oh, should we take a quick break?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. When we come back, we've got so much more cake content.
Yes, cake all day. Dropcloth Samplers is a line of hand-drawn embroidery samplers, printed and ready for you to jump in and start stitching right away. Each pattern is hand-drawn by Rebecca Ringquist in her Portland, Oregon studio and printed for you to embroider with your own color and thread choices, like coloring book pages, but for embroidery. And with Rebecca's custom classes on Creative Bug, she can be there to guide you every step of the way. You can find Dropcloth Samplers on Instagram at dropcloth or online at dropclothsamplers.com.
Before we get into kids' cakes, could I shout out a couple more things?
Yes.
So if you guys listened to our last podcast, I mentioned this Mary Berry Baking Bible book that I got that I made this really good seed loaf from. Well, she has so many good looking cakes in here.
Awesome.
And she, what I love about the way she does this is she actually divides them up. So she has like classic cakes in here, which is where you're going to find like the Victoria sandwich.
Okay.
I think is my ideal birthday cake, actually. Okay. Just like a really simple vanilla cake with like a layer of whip and fresh fruit. Yeah. And it's like a double layer.
So classy.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a double layer, but it's just really simple. And then you're just enjoying really nice, simple, fresh flavors.
Yeah.
Why gild the lily? And then she has a whole section for celebration cakes, which is really funny because she has things like christening cakes and like, we don't have that here.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Like fancy holiday cakes that have a lot of fruit and nut in them, which my partner would not enjoy. But she does have some other like delicious fancy cakes that I think would make for a good adult cake.
Yeah.
And then she has a whole section just on baking for children.
Oh.
And in that section, she does have several good, I say this with an asterisk, she has several very good kids' birthday cakes in here. If, this is the asterisk, if you are the kind of parent who really wants to push the boat out for your kid's birthday cake, which I am not.
Yeah.
Like I am, that is not my jam, and I will get into how I make my cake special without spending a lot of time and effort on them.
Yeah.
But for, I think, maybe like 60% of the population, they would be into this.
I do like to go all out.
Can I show you one of these all outs?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
It is really cool. It's called a castle birthday cake. And it's like a multi-level cake that's like chocolate frosting. And it has a chocolate cake. And it has ice cream cones turned upside down. So they make like the turrets on the castle. And she has some simpler ones too. Like one that's like a bunny rabbit birthday cake. Where really...
Oh my gosh, so cute.
The shapes are very easy to cut out from just like your regular... two disc.
And is it coconut all over it that kind of looks like fur?
Yes, it's coconut. Toasted coconut. Cute. Anyways, so I think you could go down a rabbit hole in this book, which I'm excited to do. But it doesn't ever make a good cookbook club episode on its own because it's just all about baking and cakes.
Yeah, we have done those. I mean, we did a whole episode on snacking
cakes. That's true. Maybe next year, you guys. Maybe in season four.
Yeah, that could be fun.
You are the expert, I think, between us when it comes to kids' birthday cakes
really?
And making it really special. Yeah, I think in general, like, that's our vibe. Like, we have fallen into these characters of, like, you are the overachiever and I am, like, the validator of, like, you guys, you don't have to work that hard if you don't want to. Okay. It's okay. Like, all here's right. how I phone it in.
Okay. I'm willing to step into that role. That's
okay.
Fine.
Do you think that's not accurate?
No, I think it's accurate.
Okay.
We're Enneagrams. Three and eight. In case you're
Sarah,
following along.
Sarah's a three.
I'm a three. In case that was confusing to anyone.
Your birthday cakes that you do for your family are just like so above and beyond.
They're fun. Although I will say it is hard for me as a little bit of a perfectionist overachiever when my kids want to have a lot of input.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb because it's their birthday. Like, chill out, Sarah.
What do they want to have input on?
Well, often they'll have an idea of like exactly what they want it to look like. Sometimes it's about the flavor, but usually it's more about the decoration. I just made emoji cupcakes for my little one's sixth birthday. And he wanted to help decorate them. And I had to like do some deep breathing over that because I wanted them to be like so perfect.
Yeah.
And then I was like, chill out. He's a 6-year-old who wants to help. He's excited about his birthday. And actually the ones he did came out really good.
Okay.
We ended up having like a fun weekend of decorating things. His birthday's in early December. So it was, we were already like full cookie season at that point. And so it was just like, let's just throw a bunch more frosting out there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, those came out good. I was nervous about those because that was specifically what he wanted, was cupcakes that looked like emojis. And I was like, oh boy.
That's a really cute idea though.
Yeah, it was fun and it was not as hard as you'd think. I just like typed up a bunch of emojis and like font sized 100 them and printed them out. So we had like a little template to look at.
Okay.
And then just made like a zillion different bags of icing and put them in piping bags. And I actually made all the icing ahead and refrigerated it like overnight or something, and then just like snipped the piping bags. I've discovered, I know this is like not the most environmentally friendly thing, but you can buy piping bags, like disposable piping bags, in like a 100 pack.
Oh.
Which is amazing, because then when you're done, you just literally just throw them in the trash.
I always use our oldest plastic bags. Like, yeah, we reuse our Ziploc, yeah, bags. And, yeah, so I just pick the ones that I'm very certain no longer hold water.
Right. Right. Those and then just snip the corner. Yeah. Yeah.
But also not super environmentally friendly. I throw, yeah, them out when I'm,
yeah,
done. But
yeah, totally. You've reused them. We're all doing our best.
Yeah.
But I discovered those like disposable ones, and that was a real game changer because I was able to like just sit down and I had all of the colors that I needed and I could just pick them up at will. And then when we were done, I just chucked whatever was left.
Well, I think another golden gem from what you just talked about is that you are really on team cupcake for kids' birthdays.
I love a cupcake for multiple reasons. Number one, somebody doesn't have to be cutting the cake during the party.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you can blow out candles without your kid blowing their germs all over everybody else's cake. You can just take one cupcake and put it in front of your kid for the blowing part. Number three, I think they are way more fun to decorate. Like, I think you have so many more options and way more fun and at the same time, easier.
I feel like time consuming, though.
Really?
It depends on how you're decorating.
I love just like a piped. I love to pipe.
Uh-huh.
I love just like a high pipe.
Okay.
Like just like swirl it on there and, mm-hmm, make it just like a big gooey,
yeah,
swirl of frosting. There is a great, I think it's a video. I think it's Erin McDowell on the New York,
oh,
Times.
Oh, yeah. I love her.
She's got this great piping tutorial that's like such a game changer. I teach some baking classes for kids. And when I show them this in the class, everybody loses their minds where you make like four kinds of frosting and four colors of frosting. You line them up. I'll put a link to this in the show notes if you want to see it. But you line them up on Saran wrap and then you like sort of roll them up in the Saran wrap, like the four distinct colors. And then you put the whole like log of that frosting into a piping bag with a tip on it.
Cool.
Which is so easy. You just like snip the edge of it, throw it down in there, and it comes out like it pipes rainbow.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
That is cool. I've always wondered how people do that. I've,
yeah,
seen in the Great British Bake Off where they're piping stuff, where sometimes they'll like take, I think it's food coloring gel.
Okay.
Like not super liquidy one.
Yeah.
And they will like brush it on the sides of the piping,
oh,
bag.
Yeah.
So they'll do like two or three colors and then,
sure,
they put the white frosting in. And then,
yeah,
as they're piping it out, it makes like a pretty ribbon.
Sort of makes a ribbon.
But,
yeah,
I've never tried that. And so I'm not sure, like, does that hold?
Right.
Does it mix all the way?
Right,
does,
totally,
it separate?
I haven't tried that, but I love that idea. The rainbow frosting piping thing is like a great tip. Like I said, I'll share that video in the show notes. So that's a fun, easy way to do it. I also just think that piping one cupcake is just like so easy that you can just do a bunch of them in a row. Whereas with a cake, it's like you got to do a crumb coat if you're going to like fully, I don't know. It just seems like so much more tiresome to me.
I have a very lazy way of decorating my,
okay,
birthday cakes.
Let me hear about it.
Okay. So, and this is for kids' cakes.
Okay.
This is really for everybody.
It's okay.
Cake in my house, unless they want specifically a nice fancy cake. I let the kids pick their color. So they often like have their creative idea of like,
yeah,
what they want. And it's like really complicated. And I kind of like that process because,
yeah,
it reminds me of my work where I'm like, yeah, let's dream big. Okay. And like, how are we going to make this buildable?
Yeah.
You know, like how can we actually construct this? Usually what it boils down to is like some sort of template with like a frosting base and,
okay,
then maybe a second frosting that kind of goes on that template. So you get like two colors, basically.
Okay.
What I prefer to actually do is frosting and sprinkles. And you can always do sprinkles in like just one color or multicolored sprinkles. So they'll like pick their color frosting. And usually it's like, I want green or I want yellow, or like one year River wanted U of O, University of Oregon colors. And, mm-hmm, so it was like yellow and then green. But I'll make a template. Like in that case, I would make like the O for U of O.
Okay.
Like their symbol. So it's like the cake has already been frosted yellow and it's,
yeah,
just like put on there with a knife,
okay,
or a spatula.
Okay.
Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Put the template on, which is just like the cutout.
Yeah.
And it might be like a reverse cutout. Like the whole piece of paper is like a 9-inch round piece of paper. And then I cut out the O symbol and then I just gently set that on the cake. And then I just shake all the sprinkles out and it just goes into that cutout area.
Okay. Brilliant.
And then you carefully lift it off and it's like you've used the sprinkles to make the,
yeah,
design.
Brilliant.
And then they get really excited because they love sprinkles.
Yeah.
So often what
sprinkles, I think, are the unsung hero of the children's birthday cake world.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, everybody gets
they just make
even adults.
Happy.
And,
yeah,
it's also, I love that crunch and texture. So if you want like as many sprinkles as possible, then you make the O, in that case, the paper, and then everything else gets sprinkles,
oh,
on it.
Oh, okay. So it's like a reverse stencil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I love that idea.
I mean, I have three kids and I've been doing this for years and,
yeah,
nobody's caught on.
Or they just love it
they
so much.
Still
that they
still get excited.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. Yeah, I feel like sprinkles are great. And another way that I love to class up a cake and make it more birthday-ish is you can make your own funfetti cake,
mm,
by just making a white cake or vanilla cake and just adding sprinkles to the batter.
The cake sprinkles, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aren't those called jimmies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it works. There's a number of different, I think the kitchen actually did a roundup on like homemade funfetti recipes and they like rated which ones they liked the best. But I think you can add them to any, like in snacking cakes, she says add it to the vanilla cake to make funfetti. And okay. I've done that before and it's brilliant.
That snacking cakes vanilla cake is my go-to birthday cake for pretty much all of our like kid birthday needs.
Yeah. That's, I love that. I love that cake. It's so good.
It's just like a classic cake. I don't find I get like a huge rise off of it. Like it's not a very fluffy cake for me, but it is a one bowl and a whisk cake.
Totally.
And like my kids don't care how fluffy the cake is.
Yeah, exactly. One year I made that for my niece. I made the vanilla cake with the sprinkles in it. So funfetti. And then I made it in small rounds and I stacked it like four layers. And then I made it into a unicorn.
Oh, wow.
So you can buy this like, I mean, you can get it at a cake decorating place or like, frankly, from Amazon.com. It's just like a molded set that has like ears and a unicorn horn that
you can
like put into the cake. And so, like the one that I had also came with like these eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could like stick them on the cake so it looked kind of like a unicorn face.
Okay.
And it was like so sprinkly. And I think we did the rainbow frosting and I blew her mind.
That's pretty cool.
She was five that year.
There is a rainbow cake in the kid's cake section of that Mary Berry cake, by the way.
Where the batter is different colors and then it's all stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
It is fun. I'm not that mom, but it's fun for someone else.
That has always seemed a little bit cumbersome to me. I also have a thing where I don't mind a colored frosting, but I don't like a dark colored frosting. Like it kind of induces like a repulsive feeling in my body. I'm like, you know, like we went to a birthday party once where the frosting on the cupcakes, like the child had chosen it and it was like navy blue and olive green. And I was like, I don't want to put that in my mouth.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to make my teeth green, first of all.
Oh.
And also I was just like there's like something deep in my body that's like, this is not a natural thing that I should put inside my body. I mean, my kid loved it, but I was like, you know, they're like, you want a cupcake? I was like, I think I'm good.
That's funny.
So I don't love a dark color. Like I like a bright unicorn-y. And this is, this is so silly. Maybe this is true for our listeners too, but like a weird quirk that I have is that like, I don't like green Skittles because I know that limes are green, but like, I feel like green or blue, like those colors, like are not colors that like exist in normal fruit or something.
Okay.
So I'm like, an orange Skittle is certainly more natural because oranges are orange.
You're suspicious.
This is very silly.
No, I have
it all. It makes no sense, but that's how it is in my brain. So I like a bright colored frosting. I don't like a dyed cake. I don't like it when batter has food coloring.
Yeah. I don't like it if it's not related to the flavor.
Yeah.
So like if it's a pink cake, but it's because you added food coloring, but it also has like pulverized freeze-dried strawberries in it.
Which is another great hack we should talk about.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I don't like red velvet because I just don't like thinking about how much food coloring is in it. Honestly, food coloring kind of skeeves me out a little bit.
Okay. Another thing that I really like doing that is a simple way to decorate, which applies to adults or for kids' birthday cakes, is just to do, speaking of like frosting colors, just like simple white frosting and then put tons of like fresh berries on the top.
Yeah.
And that's actually a very popular request in my house among like the kids, is that I decorate the cake with just berries.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you can do like so blueberries around the edge and strawberries and
all
that. Sure,
you can get really decorative with it.
And I like that the natural sweetness of the fruit kind of like cuts, like lightens a little bit the rest of the cake, you know? So the cake doesn't actually have to be terribly sweet.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So let's talk about the other hack that I think is brilliant, which is if your kid has a request for a flavor of a cake, like I know one that gets requested commonly in my house is I want a strawberry cake that you can add freeze dried fruit to a cake batter without wrecking the balance, and it will really add a lot of concentrated flavor.
Yeah. And you have to pulverize the freeze dried fruit. So you're adding the powder, but it's a great way because you're not adding liquid.
Right.
And it's not enough of a dry ingredient to really throw off the overall balance. Too
and
much.
I think that has worked really well. You can do it with blueberries too. I know Kirsten from our cookbook club has done it with blueberries.
And then I think you do need to add food coloring because blueberries will sometimes make things look kind of putrid
a little bit gray
in color. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never done it with the blueberry, but I can see that.
Yeah. I would just add like a little bit of blue just to kind of pump it up a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, when I do the strawberry, I don't usually add the food coloring because I think it does make it pink. Sometimes it's kind of speckled pink, but
Well, that was so much cake talk.
It makes me want to go to a birthday party. You know, the funny thing is that my partner actually doesn't like cake.
It's funny that you said that, because you said that makes, there are two things here.
Yeah.
You being like, that makes me want to go to a birthday party. And then my partner doesn't like cake. And I put those together and I thought, I don't want to go to a birthday party. I don't like going to birthday parties. I don't mind going out with like a small group of friends to celebrate a birthday, but I do not like going to kids' birthday parties.
Okay.
And I do not throw big birthday parties for my kids because I don't like,
you don't like being at them. Yeah, fair enough.
So they get to pick.
They can
like,
be, yeah, there's a whole thing, because sometimes like you don't know the family that well, or you don't know the other people. It's always chaos.
It's just total overstimulation. Yeah, and it's like quantity over quality. Yeah. Like I usually have my kids pick like one or two friends, and then they go do something like extra fun with them.
That's brilliant. I actually think we're maybe sort of like going there with my older son, who does get overwhelmed easily. He had a birthday party 2 years ago where he got so overwhelmed that he spent like 30 minutes of it in his room. I can't handle this.
Yeah. I feel like as a parent, I don't fit the typical in terms of like, I've never really enjoyed going to library story time when I had really little kids. And
I
do not enjoy kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Those things are hard. Even for me as like an extrovert who really enjoys, I do enjoy, if I know the adults at the birthday party, like I can tune out the chaos pretty well. And I like the social time, but there have been some that have been real awkward and there's nobody to talk to. And I'm like, when is this over?
I'd rather just go out with those grown-ups, though.
Well, fair enough. Yeah.
Well, I hope that you guys got a lot of good ideas for birthday cakes for both big people and little people in your family.
And one last note is that if you have a partner or a kid or somebody who doesn't like cake, just a reminder that you can stick a birthday candle in anything.
Yeah.
My partner loves a piece of pie. Mm-hmm. He loves a bowl of ice cream with a candle in it.
Emily from Cookbook Club recently brought these little like vegan mousse cups.
Ooh.
They're like little individual size.
That's fun.
And they were called something like, if I can find the product, I'll like link to it in the show notes. But it was called something really silly like Goddess Mousse or some crazy thing.
I love it.
Anyways, that would be the perfect kind of thing to stick a candle in.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
All right. Well, we sure hope that you guys will join us next time. We're going to be cooking from Modern Comfort Food by Ina Garten. Sarah, why did we pick this book?
Well, it's been 3 years on the podcast and we still have not talked about Ina Garten, which is kind of amazing because I feel like she's a real presence in the sort of cooking world. Modern Comfort Food is her top selling cookbook. And it's got lots of Ina's comfort food favorites in it. So it's going to be a fun one.
I'm so excited about that.
Cook along with us between now and then. Just tag us on Instagram at Cookbook Club Show or send us a voice memo or a comment at cookbookclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us online at cookbookclub.show.
And remember to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next one. And if you have time to leave us a review, that really helps other home cooks find us too.
Bye.
Thanks.